Beloved, we turn to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. And before I begin, I just want to explain that for a while, I plan on preaching sermons, topical sermons, thematic sermons. We finished Numbers a little while ago, and then we used both sermons to finish Matthew recently. And what I'd like to do is just focus on some simple messages for a while on topics and themes. Exegetical sermons are a lot more work, and with a baby coming soon, it'll be helpful to have a little more flexibility. But also, I have ordered a lot of books for Deuteronomy, and they come with long introductions, and I just want some time to be able to study for a while, kind of take a look at the forest before we get into the trees in exegesis together, verse by verse. So I just want some time to prepare well before we start, rather than jumping right into it. We're also going to do Philippians in the evening. I've talked with a session and some of you about that, and so I'm getting some books ready for that and would like some time to prepare for that as well. In the meantime, and I expect probably through the end of the year, we'll probably start up with a new exegetical series in January. In the meantime, I welcome you, as I have before, to submit sermon requests, Bible verses. Please try not to give me chapters, many chapters, but some scriptures that you would love to hear preached. Or if there are topical series, ideas, doctrinal things you'd like to hear, I would greatly welcome suggestions, and I've always been happy to do whatever has been requested. If you don't have a request, don't worry about it. Sit back and relax. I hope you'll enjoy. I know that topical sermons can be a little easier for me and for you. We're going to be careful to make sure we get back to preaching the whole counsel of God, and there is much reward in exegetical sermons, of course. But a little bit of a time to take a breath before we work through the last book of the Pentateuch together. And as I was thinking this week, I was praying and asking the Lord to give me direction. What should I preach on for you this week? And usually I have a few scriptures in mind just from devotions and other things that come up, things I've wanted to take a look at or something that's blessed me I'd like to pass on with to you. And I really didn't have any ideas, and that was a little scary for me. But trusting the Lord, I kept praying, and I knew I would have it when I had it. And a couple ideas came through, and I trust that the Holy Spirit gave me this scripture for you this morning. I remember walking out of the shower, and all of a sudden it just kind of hit me, and I said, this is it. This is what I should preach this morning. So I hope it will be a blessing to you as it has for me. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let me read that once more. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading, the preaching, the hearing, the receiving, and the responding to his holy word. Well, you might have noticed this morning I have been struggling a bit. In case any of you might wonder if I'm in a bad mood or unhappy with one of you, that's not it. My second cup of coffee hasn't kicked in. I don't always need one, but for some reason I am struggling to kind of click this morning, and I apologize for that. But it's kind of funny timing, because what I had written to begin the sermon is this: if you're like me, you aren't the greatest morning person. I'm not the greatest morning person. I don't really like to get up in the morning. It really doesn't matter if I'm rested, but especially if not rested. I'm more of a night owl. I do get up in the morning. I do it. I just don't like it. I'm not one to be quick about it and spry. Anyhow, if you're like me, maybe you can relate to that. I know some of you cannot relate to that, but maybe you can all relate to this. If you're like me, you might go to bed, maybe often you go to bed, with apprehension about the next day. There's so much that you had to deal with today. What is tomorrow going to be like? I'm so exhausted now. What is tomorrow going to bring to me? There's almost a feeling of, I just don't want to have to go to bed because I don't want to have to get out of bed because I don't want to have to start another day that will have probably plenty of things like today, and then often things I didn't even plan on that made the day even more chaotic and difficult. And the morning isn't something I necessarily welcome nor look forward to. Maybe there's more of a waiting as long as possible for the morning instead of anticipating it, expecting it with excitement. But our scripture says this: Christians have hope to get up every day and see what God will do, knowing the Lord is never done working his faithful mercies for us. We can face the next day. We can get up in the morning. We don't have to dread the next morning light and what may come with it, because God is with us. His mercies are there for us. Christians have hope to get up every day and see what God will do, knowing the Lord is never done working his faithful mercies for us. Now, remember the context of Lamentations, the name itself, Jeremiah's lamentations, his crying out, his lamenting to the Lord, his crying, his melancholy, his dread. It's a depressing letter from beginning to end. The whole context is one of sadness over sin as a person and as the people of God. They are seemingly desolated in exile and left for dead, run by wicked foreigners. Though Israel was once a mighty place known for God's presence, in exile she seems to be forever empty with no reason to look forward to another day, let alone an eternal one. It looks like eternal night is their plight, with no purpose to look forward to a new sunrise. Even in the beginning of this chapter, we see that this is where the writer is coming from leading into our text. Look with me at verses 1 through 3 in chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. See, we can relate to that, can't we? Because of God's discipline over us. There's plenty of times where we struggle to want to get out of bed because we think there isn't any mercy left for us. We've spent it all up. We've ruined our relationship with the Lord, and it cannot be reconciled. Often we can dread the morning and getting up because we are struggling to get ourselves up and to do better for him. And we feel that there's no more mornings to take advantage of. And here he's wondering, will God have another day for us? Is he not done with us? And if there is another day, will it not only be full of despair and more punishment? The church is miserable. It is experiencing great miseries. And after all, these desolations are his severe discipline. Are we ever forsaken? Has his great mercy been spent up with nothing left for a new day of renewal? Shall we not just lie in bed with the curtains closed and wait to die? No. No. Though that is the context, God isn't done with us. His mercy has not been spent up. His time of discipline will have an end, but his time with us will not end. There are new mercies for us each morning, even to get through periods of his discipline and chastising, to get to a better place. He's bringing discipline on the church and on his people, always to bring them to repentance, always to bring them to restoration in their relationship with him and one another. It's always to develop them and to bring them back. And even his discipline is mercy, for without it, they'd go and be left to themselves and no more be a people. Look at verse 22 again. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His mercies are not complete, therefore we are not complete. That is, we're not consumed. Thus the Lord is not completed. That is, he fails not with us. God isn't done with us. His mercies are not done. He has another day for us to serve him and expect him to work in us. Why? Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercies are new every morning because he is faithful. He's faithful. Even when we're not faithful, he remains faithful. Literally, the Hebrew word for faithful is firm. He is firm like a rock, why the scriptures often call him our rock. He's trustworthy. He's steady. He's full of fidelity. Though we are so unfaithful, yet great is his faithfulness. Though we are not worthy of the least of all his mercies, yet his mercy never ends. His word mercy here, let us give a little attention to it again, the Hebrew word chesed. We have often studied this together. Praise the Lord, there are so many opportunities to study it in the scriptures. Chesed could be translated or has the full idea of unceasing covenant loyalty. God has put himself in covenant with the church and its members. He is loyal. He is faithful to his covenant. Therefore, it never ceases. His mercy is connected to this idea of faithfulness or loyalty. He has sworn by himself. He doesn't break covenant. He's faithful for his name's sake, for his mercy's sake, for his covenant's sake, says the scriptures. So remember, when we particularly gave attention to the word chesed, we saw in Psalm 136 that each of the 26 verses ends with the exact same line. His mercy, his chesed, his mercy, his unceasing covenant loyalty, his mercy endureth forever. Thus, beloved, you can endure. You can endure the night and you can endure the morning light into another day that Christ has told you not to worry about until you've gotten there. And let that day be sufficient once you're there, and let his grace be sufficient for you. Though you might say what Jeremiah says here in chapter 1, verse 14, I am not able to rise up. Maybe you might say that due to sicknesses you're experiencing, due to weaknesses, backaches, lots of difficult things many of you are going through, maybe you have been tempted to say, I am not able to rise up. I can't get up anymore. Nonetheless, you can. In the power of Christ's resurrection, you can know that there's a purpose for that morning. God's given it to you. There's a purpose for that day. There's new mercies, new joy to be have there, even through the difficulties, even through the sufferings. Remembering that Paul says in Philippians, I rejoice to have fellowship with Jesus Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, also in the power of the resurrection and the walk of newness of life, through those sufferings, through those difficulties in Christ, there can be joy there. There's mercy there to be able to endure it and make progress and have a purpose in it. Isn't it so often we don't want to get up in the morning because it feels like we have been emptied of all purpose, because we've been empty of all mercy? You might say again with the prophet, I'm not able to get up. But in the power of Christ's resurrection, you can. And thus you can wait on the morning. There is something new there for you, beloved. Verse 23. You can always start anew. You can be renewed even through the difficulties. You can face it and rejoice in it and get up and live it for the Lord's glory. You can always have something new. It's like when the Psalms say, sing a new song unto the Lord. It doesn't mean to write a new song. It means sing it as if it's the first time you've ever sang it. Sing it with the new experience of applying it to this new situation, to this next day the Lord has given you. Just a mercy that you have a new day to live for him. Why can you get up every day? Because though you are hurting, you always have hope. Each day has hope, looking to the last great day. You always have hope. Look at verse 21. remembering that he has said, I can't do it. This is a horrible experience. Nonetheless, in verse 21, he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Then he goes into our verses that give him hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He's saying, though it looks as if we're going to be left for dead, we won't be left for dead because of the risen, living Christ, the God of the living and not of the dead. He is yet with us. His mercies are new every morning to get through his discipline. He'll bring us through it to a new day, one day, God willing, of revival and reformation and restoration and holy living again for him. And then he goes on with this idea of hope, remembering there's mercy in the morning. He's faithful to us yet still. His faithfulness is not completed, and so he's not done with us. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And you see, this is his answer to himself in verse 18. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. He got to a place in his despair because of all the real difficulties and the legitimate causes of depression. He got himself to the place to say, there's no hope. Hope is dead. But no, hope springs eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he catches himself. And again, he says to himself, verse 21, wait a minute. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. And he talks about hope in verses 24 to 26. Why? Because the Lord's mercies are not consumed. We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now the letter goes on to lament many things. And yet in the middle of it all, as God always does with the prophets, always with in the midst of his discipline, he gives a message of hope. This is for your own good, and I will bring you through it to a better day as individuals and as a people. You have hoped, beloved. And remember that word for hope in the Hebrew could be translated waiting. It's basically to wait. Hoping is waiting. Isn't it true in the Latin languages? I know for Spanish and I think also Portuguese, espera is to wait, esperar. Espero que, I hope that, or I wait for. It depends on the context, but similarly, hoping and waiting is the same word, the same idea, just a little bit different nuance. So we have reason to wait on the Lord, because we have hope in the Lord. If he gave us a new morning, he's not done with us, and he has a purpose for us, and that is to hope. You always have a reason to wait on the Lord through the night unto another day and with hopefulness to wait upon him, for he is waiting on you. Each morning is worth getting ready for. Each morning is worth getting up for. Put your clothes on, make your bed, open the shades, crack open the windows, get your cup of coffee, because you have hope. Even through all your trying times that have you on your knees by your bedside at night, not only to pray, but because that's probably about all you have left in you as you drag yourself to bed and you despair the morning. But he gives you songs in the night to get you through, remember, unto the morning, where there is new mercy there when you need it. He gives you grace, as much grace as you need for the moment, and he gives you mercies for each new morning. They're there waiting for you. You don't have them until you get there. He wants you to be able to begin a new day with all that you will need to go through. Every night, therefore, you can sing what you sang this morning. Psalm 130, verses 6 through 8. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You see, beloved, God is not through with you. So get up and say, He's not done with me, so I'm not done. God is not done with me yet. When he's done with you, you'll be in heaven, and you'll rejoice there. Until that day, he's not done with you. He gives you a day to live. He has a purpose for that day, as simple and ordinary as it might seem to the world. Remember what we saw in Matthew 25. Who are the people that Jesus commends and says, come into the kingdom of my Father and enjoy it? It's those who do the simple little things for simple people that no one looks at and no one would record. No one would write a book about it. But that is what Jesus is paying attention to. Get up and live for me today with whatever I have called on you in providence to do. And that will be a great and mighty thing that you have lived for me. And like Job, you have said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. I will praise him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I will see him at the end of my days. So each day you get up towards that last great day when you will be raised, not from your bed with your pillow. You will be raised from your graves as if from your beds with your new bodies. So there's always a reason to face and get up in that morning. You see, if God has given you this next morning, then he's ordained it for you to live with all that you have to face in it. And he's given you the mercy to do so. Even in facing your own sins, repenting of them, crying out to God, forgive me, I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies, but I receive them and I thank you and I need them. How often do you again struggle to go to bed, yet alone get up in the morning because of your sins, things you've battled with, things that have hit you again, and you feel, God must be done with me. I think I'm done with myself. No, there are new mercies in the morning. God indeed has ordained a day for each of you and myself to die. But until that day that only he knows, every morning that he gives you is a day he has ordained for you to live, beloved, and to live with purpose. Through all your pains, through all your problems, he has a purpose for this gift of a day that he has ordained for you to live. And he's given you mercies to start with in the morning, which is more helpful than a cup of coffee to get the day going. He has mercies waiting there for you as the light is arising. Matthew Henry says this, things are bad, but they might have been worse. And therefore, there is hope that they may be better. Let me say that again. Matthew Henry, things are bad, but they might have been worse. And therefore, there is hope that they may be better. Beloved, you always have hope. And it won't disappoint you. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. That is, hope does not disappoint. It's not hope like we talk about in the word. Oh, I hope so. Hope is rock solid. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Beloved, you have a hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 teaches us that we have a lively hope, a hope, he says later, that we need to be ready always to give an answer for, a witness about. We have a lively hope, and what is the lively hope? Christ's resurrection, which we've just got done looking at in Matthew. And this evening, we'll study the ascension. You have a lively hope. You're full of life as you face that difficult day, surrounded by death on every side, no doubt. Yet you're alive and you're living in it. You have a lively hope in the resurrection of Christ, and thus your resurrection in him, as he is the first fruits of your guaranteed resurrection in your union with him. Malachi 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You take that with you. Open it up as you face every morning. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. This Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings as you get up every morning with him, and that day star arise in your hearts with his mercies that are new every morning, because it endures forever. It can never run dry. It's always there. Joy, therefore, as the psalmist says, comes in the morning. When I was given, I believe from the Lord, the idea to preach this scriptures, thinking of many of you, and we as a church could really benefit from hearing this today, I was looking out in the evening window as the sun was going down, and I was feeling excited about the morning. I actually started to feel joyful about the morning. I thought to myself, if God has mercy, new mercy for me in the morning, that's a reason to get up. What will he do? What is his plan? There must be a purpose. Beloved, tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day with new mercies. Tomorrow is a new day, and I'll say, therefore, here comes the sun. Da-dum-da-dum. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Bear with me. Here comes the sun. Da-dum-da-dum. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, da-dum-da-dum. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. There's more. He's not done. Little darling, the smile's returning to their faces. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, da-dum-da-dum. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. He's not done yet. Have this every morning. It's new every morning. You can sing it every morning. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Because his mercies are new every morning. I couldn't help but think of this song, and I started singing it as I was expecting the morning. Here comes this. And I told you, I'm not a morning person. But you see what the word of the Lord can do. I started singing, anticipating the morning, which if you know me, that is, could we say, a supernatural change in me in Revelation. Here comes the sun. Dun, dun, dun. If not that song, let me sing another few. And not a song, of course, we would use for worship, but I think a song I've often heard that came to mind as well. I started singing a lot, thinking of this scripture. And I think it's appropriate to sing it to help us remember the scriptures. We sing the Psalms in worship, but I think these kinds of things are appropriate elsewhere. Maybe you've heard this as well. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Ah, beloved, a new day is dawning. It is full of hope. It is full of light. And one day, you will wake up into an eternal day where God and the Lamb shall be your eternal illumination. It will never be a challenge again to get up. There'll be no more nights to face. You'll have an everlasting day that is always renewing, that is always refreshing.
you have that to look forward to and to revive you, to look out the window with conviction and splash your faces with water tomorrow. What will God do for you? What will God do with you? What will he do through you next morning and each morning? To whom will he bring the gospel through you as they see you suffering as a Christian? As they see you struggling but not without hope? As they see you even facing death one day, yet without fear and full of trust and hope? As they see you get up in the morning in all your frailty and praise the Lord as you sip of his refreshing cup of mercy? Whom will the Lord bring to him through you in your simple, ordinary Christian lives that he is most attentive to, that he supplies all the mercy for you? What will he do with our little, exhausted, struggling church as we look forward to joining a new denomination? All these new things on the horizon for us, beloved. Perhaps we might dread for the amount of work that it will involve, but we have to trust he will give us new mercies every day to work and develop these things. And what does he have in store for us? Lord willing, we get to the process that leads to the time where we can be welcome in and yoked in full fraternal fellowship with the denomination to serve him in new ways we've never done before. Broadly out there, even thinking of the Great Commission that we had just heard at the end of Matthew, but also how they will help work with us and serve. How will the Lord, what will he do? Well, we know that he has new mercies for it every day. So let's keep getting up for it, walking together forward in it, trusting him as we lay our heads down every night for the next day of serving the King. Each day again that he has ordained and provide the mercy for. He is faithful with new mercies every morning along the way to find out. He's full of new mercies that will bless you. Bless me, even as we roll or fall out of bed and lift our heads and say, I lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So, beloved, anticipate the morning as you go to your beds. Expect the morning with excitement. Just be careful. I give you this disclaimer, this warning. You might get so excited you'll have trouble going to sleep. For indeed, whatever you have going on that makes you feel at the end of the day like it may have been your last day on earth, or that maybe you would have it to be so, the truth is, beloved, you have a reason to get out of bed every morning. Whatever you're facing, whatever you are struggling with, the real things that make it difficult to go to bed, let alone to get up. Nonetheless, thus saith the Lord, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. You have a reason to get out of bed every morning. And that is the message for you this day, beloved. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You have a reason to get out of bed every morning. Let us thank the Lord. Almighty God, blessed Trinity, thank you for this revelation to stir us up from despair to devotion. Oh, Lord, may we be rededicated to you in new ways. May you quicken us. May you enliven us, because we have this lively hope as an anchor for our soul that will not make us ashamed. We don't have to dread the day. We can look forward and prepare for it with all its miseries because of all your mercy. Oh, Lord, your mercy endureth forever. Your compassions fail not. You are faithful to us, though we are unfaithful to you. And so we can always get up and face you because you have always more mercy to give us. You are never done with us. We need not be done with ourselves. Help us, Lord, to repent of our sins. Help us, Lord, to keep getting up though we fall. Help us, O Lord, to serve you better. Sanctify us by your word and grace and spirit. And use all these things of life, including your difficult providences and your discipline, to change us. Work them all for our good and conform us more to the image of Christ. Let us indeed fellowship with him in our sufferings. And let us remember his sufferings is what supplies all of our mercy. O Lord, help us to face the morrow with joy, for joy cometh in the morning by your great mercy. Help us, O Lord, to live our day and all our days mindful that you have ordained them for us and supplied the mercy we need. O Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. May it not come back void. May it be deeply rooted in our hearts. Increase our faith, help our unbelief, and keep our hands to the plow. Looking ever forward to that day when you, the Son of Righteousness and Day Store, arising in our hearts, will be returning with the dawn of the eternal day that will only be full of joy forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.